Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the topic of tonight's study is our daily bread, daily engaging in the Bible. We're going to be talking about the importance of why it is that we as Christians should daily be searching the scriptures and how integral it is to our spiritual growth. We want to remind you that our program is available online where you can be able to listen to it at your convenience. You can find us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. There you have access to all of our podcasts, as well as to our live feed. Just hit the live radio feed. We constantly have Christian programming on there. So we know that one way or another, you will be edified. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where we weekly post up our podcast as well. You can also subscribe for automatic download on iTunes, or you can actually download the free app that is both available for Android as well as it is for iPhone. We invite you to also contact us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or at our phone number 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-RRAP. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer today?
Amen. Father, tonight we come before you again. Father, teach us what to eat to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and
I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you and in the quiet.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. There's a saying that is said about our physical bodies that often I remember hearing it when I was in elementary school when we were learning about nutrition, and that is that we are what we eat. The quality of our physical health is greatly dependent upon the things that we put in it. Yet if this truth is so important for our human bodies, how much greater does it apply to our souls, to our spiritual hearts, to our minds? The Bible tells us in the scriptures, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." The Bible tells us to guard our heart, meaning be careful what you allow into your heart. Be careful what you allow into your mind, because it would affect your life completely, and even more so than the physical things that we put into our bodies. If it's so important for us to be careful with the foods we eat, how much more important is our spirit to feast upon the word of God? Jesus, in his encounter with Satan, when Satan comes to test him and to tempt him into sinning against God, in this trial and temptation, Jesus answers Satan with something very important. In the moment where Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, Satan tempts him to turn stones into bread to satisfy his own need. And Jesus Christ says, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Here Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, glory be to his name, he was fasting for 40 days. For 40 days, he did not have one piece of food into his mouth. And the Bible says that he was hungry at that moment. And that was the very moment that the devil shows up to try and get him to use his power to benefit himself. And it was this vulnerable moment that the Satan tries to attack him. I don't know if you've ever had those feelings of hunger pangs when your stomach is groaning and growling, perhaps because you passed your lunchtime and you haven't yet eaten. Yet Jesus had not eaten for 40 days. Can you imagine the physical pain that he must have been feeling in his stomach? Yet with all this, Jesus says that physical life does not consist of bread alone, but on God's word. And yet, if this is so true, how that the word of God is even more important than physical food, it's no wonder why we have so many anemic Christians walking around who have no idea of what God says or of what God expects of them. That's the reason why the devil can have his way with us, that he can do whatever he wants, that we can just wander aimlessly, because we have no idea what God says in his word. So what does the devil do? He deceives us. He traps us. He causes us to head in directions that will destroy our lives because we have not the word of God in our lives. We must feast on the word of God daily. If there's anything that Jesus knew that he had upon his heart, is that he had the word of God. And in this moment, when he encounters Satan, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says, he uses the most powerful weapon, the word of God. And the question is, will you use the word of God in that moment? when Satan comes to try and make you fall? Will the Word of God be in you? And that's precisely what we are talking about. Why is it so important for us to daily feast on the Word of God, to daily wash in the Word of God, to daily dwell in the Word of God? First of all, because the Word of God shows us the way and we should go, the way that we should go. The scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Brothers and sisters, we live in a world filled with darkness. Everywhere and every which way, there are traps laid for you and me, traps that are laid to destroy us. Everywhere there are pits that we can fall in. Day and night we are bombarded with lies. Lies from the media, lies from people, lies from the government, lies from every which way, even lies from pulpits. The lies from the devil, the lies from the world, the lies from the flesh. These are constant attacks that are upon us continually day and night. Lies to diminish your faith. Lies to get you to conform to this world. Lies to get you to sin. Brothers and sisters, we need the powerful Word of God to help us navigate the dark waters of this life. The reason why there's so much liberalism that has crept into the church today is because, number one, we don't know what God's word says, and number two, we don't take it seriously enough to live it. You know, sometimes we look at the preachers of the past, like those old fiery Southern Baptist preachers, and by today's standards, we say, man, those guys were too hard. You know, they would preach these hellfire messages, and today we say, that's really offensive. We really shouldn't talk that way. They're too harsh. They're too strict. And though some may have gone perhaps too far in their approach, yet we can look back and see in them the fear of God. We can see in their lives that they had a seriousness to them, that they believed that God's word was God's word, that they believed that God's word must be kept and was sacred above all things. But now we got all these types of different books that say how of pop psychology and how to be able to talk to people and how to be able to be nice to them and be kind to them and not to offend them. But that's not the way that the word is preached. The word must be preached the way it is. It's one of the dangers of some of the modern translations. You know, Brother Lewis, not so long ago, he was doing a study on the manipulation that has been going on in some of these newer translations. It's the reason why the very first thing that the devil attacked in the garden was God's word. Yet has God said, questioning whether God has said what he had said. And he continues to do it today. Even by some ministers who deny the virgin birth, who deny the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they are not ashamed. They call themselves pastors. It has been the lax approach to the scriptures that has put the church in the place that it is today, because we have not taken the word of God seriously. We are where we are today. Because the Bible says that his word is a light unto our feet. As long as we keep that light, we will not stumble. As long as we keep that light, we will go in the right direction. But when we turn around, when we turn aside, we will end miles away from where we're supposed to be. You see, a captain of a ship knows that he is off 1 degree, eventually he will be miles off course. When we read in the Bible, we read about King Josiah, who's a young king that came into power at a very young age. And the Bible says that when this king came into power, Israel was very far from the word of God. Israel was very, they have rebelled. They had begun to do all these types of practices that God had condemned. And the Bible says that one day, the priests were cleaning up. They were remodeling the temple. And the Bible says that they found the book of the law. They found a copy of the Old Testament. And this copy is brought to King Josiah. And the Bible says that when he reads what's in the Bible, he rents his clothes out of the amazement of how far Israel had gone from the word of God. He rips his clothes because he had seen what had happened to God's people and the judgment that was looming over their heads. And this became the catalyst for revival in Israel. One man said, we have to go back to the word of God. And the Bible says that he did everything he could to get rid of all those things, get rid of those priests that were sacrificing to idols. He got rid of idols that were in the temple. He got rid of homosexuals that were profaning the temple. He took seriously the word of God. When we read about when Israel returns to the land after the Babylonian captivity, the Bible says that when they return in the book of Nehemiah, there's a point where they begin to read the Bible. They read the Bible from morning till noon. The Bible says that as they began to hear the word of God, they began to cry because they realized how they had rebelled against God. The reason why we have gotten so far, of course, as a church, is because we have not taken seriously the word of God. The Bible says that the word of God is sufficient for the man of God. But we just don't take that seriously anymore. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. In this dark world, we need the word of God to show us the way. It will speak to you in times where you need something directly from God, and you open up the scriptures and you find something in there that is directly towards you. Directly towards you. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet. Number two, the scriptures are important for us to read daily. For us to feast upon the word of God. For us to dine on this bread that brings nourishment to our soul. Because it gives us hope. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need hope in this life. Look at what the scripture says in Romans chapter 15. Verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. What that means, brother and sister, is that you and me will one day find ourselves in times of trouble. One day we will experience tribulation, grief, and pain. One day we will feel like God is far from us. Like God is not listening to us. Like God has abandoned us because of some experience, of some difficulty that we're going through. And at that time, we will be able to look in the scriptures and see God's faithfulness to his people, to remind us that our God is bigger than our problems. You can look back at how God kept his promise to the Hebrews when he delivers them out of the hands of Pharaoh through might and power, and he opens up the sea and he drowns the armies of Pharaoh while Israel's allowed to pass on dry land. How he leads them in the desert with a cloud to cover the sun so they won't be burned, so that their skin will not be marred by the desert sky. And by night he gives them a pillar of fire so that they will be able to see in the way which they go, and so that those around them can see the light of God leading his people as a shepherd. He fed them with bread from heaven. Food fell from the sky to feed his people. And when they were thirsty, he brought forth water from a rock so that they would be satisfied. This is our God. This is the Lord that we serve. This is not only our God, but he is our Father. We read about how he drops hailstones from the sky to destroy his enemies. Brothers and sisters, these stories, they were not written so that we can have something to tell our children in Sunday school. These stories are for us. These stories are for us to remember and to see the greatness of our God. And know that just like he was with them, how much greater will he also be with us that have the promise of his Son. Not only have we the promise of his Son, but he has come, he has died, and he has resurrected. And because of him, we are not just called his people, we are called his children. These stories are for us to see that he is faithful. There is nothing impossible for him. Actually, there is one thing that is impossible for God, and that is that he cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Isn't that amazing? That you have a God that cannot lie. It is not part of his nature. He cannot and he will not lie to us. Therefore, we can take his promises as our own. They belong to us. They are our heritage. They are ours, purchased in blood at the cross of Calvary by our Lord Jesus. Look at what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. The scripture says, For all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. For all the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in him, amen. It's so important, brothers and sisters, for us to dive into the Word to know what are the promises that God gave to us, because those promises are yes. The promise to be transformed, that is a yes. The promise to overcome sin, that is a yes. The promise to have provision, that is a yes. The promise to be sustained through all troubles and trials, that is a yes. The promise to be overcomer, that is a yes. And he says, not only is it a yes, but it's an amen. You know what the word amen means? It means it is done. Let it be. It is that way. That's why we need to abide in Jesus. We need to abide in his word. Let these promises be ingrained in our hearts. there was this thing that was said about John Bunyan, the man who wrote A Pilgrim's Progress. They would say that this man loved the Bible so much, he was constantly in the Bible, that if they were to cut him, he would bleed the Bible. This man loved the Word so much that he was imprisoned for his faith. And in prison, he wrote a story based on Scripture, on the journey of a Christian. I've heard of Christians who've been put in prisons. Christians who've been under extreme persecution in communist countries, who held on to the promises of God's love. And even in the midst of those circumstances, they could feel God near. His God is faithful. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. But how do you know which promises those are if you're not in the Word? These are yours. These are mine. But we need to engage. We need to dive into this book. We can't just, you know, do a 15-minute devotional. We have to study. We have to be submerged into it. Number three, the reason why we should continue to should daily feast upon the Word of God, should daily submerge ourselves and meditate on His Word, is because since we see that the promises of God are in Jesus, are yes and amen, then because they are in Jesus, we should read the Scriptures to find out about Jesus. We need to be in the Word because the Word testifies of Jesus. In John chapter 5, Jesus has an encounter with the Pharisees. The Pharisees would not accept who Jesus said He was. They would not accept Him. They didn't want anything to do with Him. He challenged their power and their authority. And look at what Jesus says to them in John chapter 5. And this is very important, because if there's something that you have to understand about the Hebrews, about the Jews, is that they were very zealous for the Word of God. They were very zealous for Scripture. A Jewish boy would memorize the Torah, the five books of Moses. They would memorize all of them. By a certain age, every Jewish boy had to know the first five books of the Bible by memory. That's how much they venerated. That's how much they took seriously the Word of God. And look at what Jesus says to them. He says in John chapter 5, verse 37, He says, "And the Father Himself, who sent Me, has testified of Me. You have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His form. But you do not have His Word abiding in you, because whom He sent Him you do not believe." And look what He says here in verse 39. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of Me." Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, these men that probably knew the Bible better than we do. But do you know that it's one thing to have the Bible in your head and another thing to have the Bible in your heart? That's a big, big difference. That's a great, it may seem like a short distance. It may seem like a short distance between the head and the heart. But in actuality, it's a very long distance when it comes to the Word of God. There are many intellectuals today that have read the Word of God, yet it has not pierced their heart. It has not penetrated their hearts. And here in John chapter 5, in this encounter, Jesus telling these men that, you know, like I said, probably know the Word better than we did. And we do. He says to them, you do not have the word living in you because you don't believe who God has sent. And in verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures. You think that in them you'll find eternal life. But the scriptures, they speak of me. They testify of me. They witness of me. The scriptures are a witness to Christ. As we read the word, we discover more and more about who he is. We learn about his deity, that he is God incarnate, about his purpose, why it is that he had to come to die. See, we have many Christians that don't know the gospel. They don't know how to explain the gospel, and they call themselves Christians, which the gospel is the principal doctrine of which all doctrines in the Bible are built, stand upon, are founded upon. We learn about his ministry. And we're not speaking just about the New Testament here. But when Jesus says that the scriptures testify of me, he's speaking about the Old Testament. You see, brother and sister, Jesus is the key to understanding the Old Testament. If you really want the Old Testament to open up to you, look for Jesus. You will find that the scriptures will open up to you like they've never have before. When you understand that the gospel is the principal doctrine, is the principal message of the scriptures, you'll find the gospel in Genesis, you'll find it in Exodus, you'll find it in Leviticus, you'll find it in Deuteronomy, you'll find it in Numbers. In every single book of the Old Testament, you'll find the gospel in one way or another. We have to ask God to give us the eyes to see it. You'll find that all along God was trying to show us how much he loved us. So much that he would have this story of redemption in every single book. How far he was willing to go for us to save us. And the reason why so many are falling for a false Jesus in these dark days of deceit is because they're not reading their Bibles. They don't care to know Jesus. It's true that you can read the Bible academically, intellectually, and not find Jesus. You can. I had a friend when I had just graduated high school, and this young man, he was studying in a university. He was studying to be a bioengineer, and he was reading the Bible, and he read it from Genesis to Revelation. And I spoke to him one day, and I asked him, "Hey, you know, whatever came out from that, this was when I was before I was really a Christian," and he told me, you know, he just didn't get it. It didn't make any difference in his life. And that's because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in fact, let's go ahead and go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, the scripture says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man, the person who hasn't been born again, the person who does not know God, he is blind to the wonderful truth that we find in the scripture. Because the wonders of the Word of God are for the heart that has been transformed by the power of God, by the gospel. The very first truth that we should be introducing into people is the gospel. Have them come to believe in Jesus so that they can be born again, so that God will give them the eyes to be able to see the wonders that are in His Word. The heart that has been transformed by the power of God wants to know Jesus, has a thirst to know God. Just like a baby, a newborn baby, needs to be fed every few hours. You don't feed a baby for a few hours, guess what? He's going to cry your head off. That should be the hunger inside of every newborn Christian. A hunger in the soul for the Christ to feed on the Word of God. If perhaps you're listening tonight and you say, you know what, Brother Javier, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for a while, but lately, you know, the study in the Word for me has just become very dull. It's become very boring. I feel like I'm reading in a mechanical way, in a robotic manner. And to be honest, there can be times where that happens to us. And there's times where we go through seasons and where we just, God is calling us to prayer. And we read the Word, but we're given more to prayer. And there's other times where we're given more to study. But if you see that there's something is going on, that you're reading the scriptures and you're just not finding the joy, God is not speaking to you, and you're not being receiving any fulfillment, your soul is not being fed, then cry out to God. Tell Him to show you Jesus. Tell Him to open up your eyes by His Spirit to see the splendor of Christ in His Word. To see who He is, to know God. To know what's on His heart, to know what He has for you, to speak to you words that are direct to you. Because His Word is our lamp to our feet. His Word shows us His faithfulness, His promises. They give us hope. And in His Word, we receive the testimony of our Lord Jesus. Pray and ask Him to give you that hunger, to open up His Word and to feed your soul.
I want to look at the phrase that my brother Javer just mentioned a little while ago. You are what you eat. Brothers and sisters, many of us don't really understand how important that phrase really is. Brother Javer just mentioned that depending on what we eat would affect our health. And he also said that, and in the same way, when we eat improper spiritual foods, it will affect our spiritual bodies. I have a question for you tonight. What is your condition? The book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 2, says this: Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. When I think of this scripture, there are so many things that come to my mind. First of all, who are we glorifying? It's sad to say, brothers and sisters, but many Christians have deviated from preaching the gospel because of ratings and money. If we are spending our time looking for UFOs and monsters and other planets, how can anybody be saved, or how does that glorify Christ? In the same way, when we allow things such as porn, drugs, and alcohol in our bodies, how can this uplift Christ? Or how can you be a testimony to others? When Jesus was asked what he was doing, he said he was doing his Father's work. Isn't that what we are supposed to do as well? John 10:37. Do not believe me unless I do the work of my Father. We cannot give what we don't have. In other words, if we are eating contaminated or altered word, that's what we will give out. And the result is people not seeking or wanting to find Christ, but an adventure. This is what many modern churches are filled with today. A lot of show and no God. John 6:58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Brothers and sisters, the bread of life, the bread that's going to lead people to salvation, the bread that's going to bring people help is Jesus. And we are to promote Jesus and Jesus only.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's precisely what the Word of God does. See, the Word of God strips us of any righteousness that we may think we have. We have none. The Bible says there is not one that is just. No, not one. We have all sinned, and the penalty for sin is death. And that's why so many people hate the Bible. They hate the Bible because it points us to God. It shows us that there is nothing inside of man that is good. And that the only one that is good is God. And only he can redeem the evil that is in humanity. Only he can eradicate it through the cross and make us into new creations, into men that carry the love of God inside of us. That's why communists hate the Word of God. That's why the secularists hate the Word of God, because they believe that there is some goodness in humanity. If God were to take away his Holy Spirit, it would be chaos upon the earth. Men would be killing each other, even more so than what we're seeing now and what we have in the past. If God were to completely give up all control to man, it would be utter chaos. That's why we need the Word of God, brothers and sisters. For all generations, the Word of God has been a light. And we are seeing a great decay in God's people, in our morals, in our holiness. Because we don't take his word seriously. We're listening to all these preachers that are using modern psychology instead of truly believing what God says. The Bible says that without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. The Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. The Bible says that God will look upon he who trembles at his word. The psalmist says, I have hid your word in my heart, that I not sin against you. Do we have God's word hidden in our hearts? Because, brothers and sisters, there will be a day, I believe, that we won't have physical Bibles with us. I'm not saying whether we're going to go into tribulation or not. But look at China. Look at North Korea. We're not in the Great Tribulation now yet. There are many that are experiencing tribulation. And if caught with a Bible, we put into prison camps, some even killed on the spot. That's perhaps the reason why we're so apathetic towards the Word of God here in the United States, because we don't realize the price and the cost that many have paid to preserve this Word. We don't realize that the freedom that we have has been because of those that have shed their blood for the faith and for the word that we now hold. And instead of arguing about this, about which and what is the best version, we should be trying to find out what is it that God said and live it. Live it out. The Bible says we are not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And this is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be able to walk according to what God has commanded us to do.
Amen. Many years ago, I remember I was invited by a friend to go to a church. And there was a preacher preaching about the birth of Jesus Christ. And I remember that he stood up there and he said, Jesus was not born in a manger. He was born in a house. And he was rich. And everybody in the church stood up and they clapped and they were excited about the situation. And I remember sitting there and just thinking, what are these people doing? You know, brothers and sisters, and this is what the devil did to Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. He tempted him with an altered word, a corrupt word. But see, the difference was that Jesus knew the word. And if we don't know the word, brothers and sisters, if we spend our time teaching things other than the word of God, then there's going to be a lot of lost people out there, and that's the reason why the world is the way it is today. Father God, tonight, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your precious word. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you, Father, give us the strength to preserve your word. And I pray for those people, Lord, that are confused, that have deviated, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you open the hearts and their minds to return and to preach the truth, which is your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope that tonight's program has encouraged you to dive deep into his word. There's so much for God to reveal to us if we only give him the time and the attention that he deserves. Glory be to his name. We invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you have access to all of our podcasts. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Feel free to download the free app that is both available for Android as well as it is for iPhone. Absolutely free. I know I said that again, but I'll repeat it one more time. It's absolutely free. You can also contact us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-RRAP. Thank you again for listening. We pray that the Lord bless you.